Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor. This is Real Talk about Real Life, the show where no holds barred advice on how to take control of your financial future. Securing your life means freedom for your future when money matters. If you are living a financial nightmare, then this is the show for you. We're going to try to help you fix what you broke. So I'd like to start off with welcoming you all and giving you all the call-in number. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to call 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. Our chat room is also open. So I'd like to start off by giving you a little preview of what is in store for us tonight. We're going to talk about some really hot topics. One is going to be about ending your financial nightmare is what the topics for tonight, the show focus will be. The first one will be minding your money. Then we're going to talk about tracking your personal finances and understanding what it means to be at war with your credit. So sometimes I think that we kind of don't really understand, nor do we respect money. So this is what minding your money means. One of the things is that you need to do is understand that money does matter. We need to understand that without it, we can't live. And if you don't spend it wisely, you're still not living. We need to get out of the existing part where we're just living paycheck to paycheck or from one meal to the next meal and actually start focusing on how can we make our money work for us instead of us just working for the money. So we're going to mind our money. But I would like to take a quick review on what we talked about in the last couple of weeks in regards to our money. We actually started off the show a couple of weeks ago with understanding what credit and debt means. And we also talked about what is on your credit report, about how to take care of your own personal finances. So we covered a lot of ground last week. We actually talked and put together a plan on how to change our spending habits and take control of our financial future. So we're going to continue that with the series of Minding Your Money, because it is very important that we actually understand where our money goes. And if you understand and you respect your money, then you will probably manage it a whole lot better. Last week, we talked about the importance of utilizing your financial institutions, whether it's your bank or a credit union. Those places that hold our money are very vital to our money management, because if you get a personal banker, then they can kind of walk you through on setting a plan for your money. And that is very important. So if you don't have a checking or a savings account, then that is one of the things that you really need to do. Because if you don't have a way in which to track your money, then it easily flies out of your pocket as soon as you get it. We had some great guests last week, and we also talked about a lot of things that were very important. I got some emails in regards to last week's show, and they really wanted me to focus on how to deal with their personal finances, even before you get to the credit part. So we're going to dedicate the first half of our show on managing your personal finances or minding your money. And I'm also going to invite you to call in at this time or join us in the chat room. And the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. Okay, going back to your personal banker, if you do not have a checking or savings account, these are the two things that you really need to acquire when you go into the bank, because all of the banks are vastly different, and they're selling a particular service and product. So the different types of checking accounts and savings accounts, CDs, and any other products and services that the bank offers, you really need to shop around and see who has the best deal, even with your financial institutions. And I know a lot of people don't really focus on where you do your banking, because everything is not as concrete and easy as it seems. You need to make sure that if you're getting involved with a bank, that it fits your plan. And if you don't have a plan, then you need to get with a personal banker so that you can actually put a plan together and make sure that your financial plan fits your family or fits you if you're an individual and don't have a family. It is very important that you do that, because if you're in a situation where your money is limited, then you want to make sure that your banking institution or the bank account that you have is one where it will allow you to have your money where you can easily get to it, because you need to make sure that there are very little penalties for your money. So you need to make sure that, one, that if it says it's a free checking account, that it truly is a free checking account, that there are no hidden fees. So even just like with your credit card applications, you really need to look at the fine print on your bank account that you are applying for and trying to acquire. You need to make sure there are no penalties if you do not have direct deposit. And if you do, if that is one of the conditions upon the account being free, and if that is not your situation, then you need to ask the banker what other alternatives do they offer for someone who do not necessarily have an account or a means where their money can be directly deposited. So there are a lot of different things that you can do and a lot of different products and services that all of the banks offer. And they are in the business of managing large amounts of money, and they need your money in order to make money. So that's why you really need to read the fine print to make sure that your money is working for you and not necessarily working for them, which means you cannot abuse your account. Make sure that you read the fine print. Make sure that if there are any penalties, that you do not fall victim to them. You need to make sure that if any unfortunate event happens where your account is overdrawn, that you do have overdraft protection. And what are the penalties for utilizing that? If you have an account that says, okay, if you get money to cover whatever amount was overdrawn within 24 hours, then there's no penalty, then, of course, that would be a great account for you. Now, with that, you need to make sure that you are well-disciplined and that you utilize your account wisely. So do not write checks or use your ATM/debit card against your account when you do not have appropriate funds in which to cover. That's just a part of making sure that you are managing your personal finances, which is vitally important. You also need to set up a situation where you are setting aside some type of savings. Even if it's not a substantial amount, some savings is better than no savings. So along with your checking account, you need to open up a savings account where a small amount of whatever income that you have coming in goes into the savings account and you don't touch that. That is important because you can't save money in your checking account. Checking accounts are not meant for you to just constantly collect money because it does not collect much interest. There are some checking accounts that are interest-bearing, but checking accounts are supposed to be fluent. So it's one of those accounts where you put money in and money is coming out. So do not utilize your checking account as a savings. You actually need a savings account for money that you do not touch. So that's vitally important. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now. And if you would like to get into our chat room or get on the phone and ask a question or make a comment, you can contact the guest call-in line at 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. And we do have a call on hold. And caller 815, you're on the air. How are you?
Hello, Diamond. This is Ron again.
Hi, Ron. How are you? And I see that James is in our chat room.
Wait. I have a question about filing bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy.
If you file bankruptcy, after everything is all cleared up, is that like you're starting all over again? You're just starting fresh?
Actually, it depends on. Well, actually, yes, and then yes. The answer to that is yes. There are several types of bankruptcy that you can file. If you file a Chapter 7 is a complete debt. Where you are clearing out and you don't owe anyone, okay? You don't pay back anyone. So you have a clean slate. A Chapter 11, however, is one where you are paying back your creditors. So usually people who file a Chapter 11 is for businesses, but a Chapter 13 is for a person who wants to keep their home or car or whatever the assets that they have. They want to keep those. So it puts those particular assets and make it where your creditors can't come after those assets. So you're able to still keep your home or your car, and you're still able to file bankruptcy, but you are kind of like a consolidation. So you do have the bankruptcy, but you are making payments to pay back those debts. But a Chapter 7 is free and clear, completely wipe the slate clean. You don't have, you're not paying back any of your creditors. If you are filing a 7 and you have a house, they're going to take the house or your car, any other assets. They will actually repossess those assets. And you have a clean slate, and you can actually start free and clear.
Uh-huh. I understand that. Yeah, well, what I was thinking about for people that were starting all over again.
Yes.
It would be a thing of them, I think they should, first of all, just admit to themselves that, this happened to me because I was undisciplined, unorganized, I had no restraint, and I'm going to correct this. I will learn to be disciplined. I will learn restraint. And the thing being, I think that people like you, that people that are just starting out or people that are, say, like just starting all over again, what they should do in order to teach themselves financial discipline, financial restraint, is that, hey, don't get another credit card. Don't get a debit card.
That's not what you need to do. What happens with when you file bankruptcy, if you file a Chapter 7,
okay,
you do need to reestablish yourself.
No, I was about to get to that.
Okay, but see, what happens now is the laws have changed
mm-hmm.
from the way it used to be. It used to be that you file a Chapter 7, you get a clean slate, you rebuild, and the cycle continues. What happens now,
mm-hmm.
before you can even file, they put you in credit counseling.
Okay.
So you're getting you're going through the process with your attorney. Or if you file on your own, you have to actually enroll in a class that you have to take in order to, and they teach you all about credit. They teach you not to make the same mistakes that were made previously, so you don't end up falling into the same downward spiral as before. So what happens after you file and you get discharged, they make you take another class, which is, as you were saying about teaching you discipline and how to reestablish yourself and understanding what credit is and how to utilize it, how to put together a personal plan. So they actually educate you. When before they didn't do that, you were kind of left to your own devices. You were given a clean slate and then tossed back out there to do as you will. So they've changed a lot of the laws and a lot of the rules in which you have to do in order to even file bankruptcy. And even
is mandatory now.
Yes, it is definitely mandatory.
Uh-huh.
It's mandatory that you take these classes. So it's not the same. But now bankruptcy, people go into bankruptcy for different reasons. They could have been the most disciplined person. And
mm-hmm.
because of the job market, you know, if you go from making a large amount of money or just a small amount, it doesn't matter the amount. If you go to being financially fluent and viable to your job downsizing and you no longer have a job, or you experience an illness or disability, and it completely changed your life, then that will cause you to be in so much having financial distress that you have to file bankruptcy. If you're in a situation where you have a disability for whatever reason, no fault of your own, that will cause huge, huge financial burden on yourself, your family. And a large part of that could be hospital bills. So that's not being undisciplined. That's just under circumstances. You find yourself in a situation where you have humongous debt. And now your income has been sacrificed because you no longer can work because of your illness or disability or the fact that they downsized your job. And you could have been the most disciplined person in the world and actually paid all your bills on time, paid all your credit cards out, and still find yourself in a situation where you have no choice but to file bankruptcy. So everybody, I mean, the circumstances are different. Each person that files for bankruptcy or debt relief, those situations are completely different. So you can't say, well, this is the norm, because there are no norms. Especially with today's economy, they're definitely, the only norm is the fact that we are in a state of crisis as a country. Even though the economists are saying differently, the effects have still been catastrophic. So everybody is still having this financial, as they say, fallout as a result of what's going on financially with our country. So people are filing bankruptcy, or they find themselves depending heavily on credit in order to survive. And these are people who didn't have to used to do that. So when you find yourself in a situation where you have exceeded beyond your savings, people are pulling their IRAs out and taking the penalties for that, early withdrawal on money that they had for their savings, and they're depleting their savings account, and they're depleting their retirement account just to survive. So we're not, you know, so I think a lot of what's happening now economically with people, with the everyday person, is not because they were reckless. This is just they have been a victim of circumstance. So that's why, you know, you have with the unemployment rate being up, and with everybody's economic situation going down, so you have, you know, the cost of living is still there, but your income is slim to none for some people. And then, you know, that's why the government had to extend the unemployment benefits because of so many people losing their jobs. So, like I said, the circumstances for people filing bankruptcy are individual. So, and the courts treat it like that. They treat each case as an individual case. So there are no norms. And even people who go into credit counseling, there still are no norms. And we're gonna, you know, I was gonna talk about that and how to repair your credit and what to do in the process of finding out whether or not bankruptcy may or may not be the answer for you. Because before you do that, you need to find out exactly what's on your credit. What is your credit report saying about you? Is the stuff on your credit report accurate? A lot of people will find it, especially if you have, say, for instance, if your child is named after you, a lot of stuff may be on, unfortunately, the credit bureaus will combine the information. That has been a lot of the problems, the calls I've gotten this week, where credit information has been combined with another relative.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you'll find out that, so if you're Ron, and then you have a junior or the second or even a third, they have combined you all's credit reports.
Oh, phew.
I got a call just today about that. How do we fix that? How do you decipher who's what and how to dispute that? So that's one of the things that has to definitely, first things first, you need to pull your credit report from all three major credit bureaus. And there are other credit bureaus, but you need to pull from the major ones, because that is so important, because if you don't know what's on it, then you won't know what to dispute. And that's half of the battle right there. You need to know what's on the credit report. So you need to go to, I'll give you the information. You can go to Equifax, and they actually have a website. It's www.equifax.com. TransUnion is www.transunion.com. And then you have Experian, which is www.experian.com. That's experian.com. And so you can actually go to their website and get your credit report. You don't necessarily have to go through a credit monitoring service in order to get your free credit report. Every person is due one free credit report every year. So, and I suggest that you check it periodically because you don't know whether or not you've been a victim of identity theft, which is run rampant. So, if you know, you need to know what's on your credit. You can have perfect credit, so you think, but because people are exchanging your information monthly, so you know your creditors are reporting on you monthly. So you need to know what they're saying, and you need to know if that report is accurate, because you may have credit, open credit in something that doesn't even belong to you. So, you know, what would happen if you know that you did not open up a Kohl's department store, for example, card? You never applied for any credit with them, but it's on your credit report. So what if someone has actually taken out credit and gotten a car in your name and you not know it? So that's where, you know, they have the credit monitoring services. But it's not necessarily that you need to have a monitoring service to monitor your credit. It's not necessary that for you to have their services just to get your credit report, because, like I said, you are due, by law, you're due one free credit report every year. Any other questions?
Okay, well, if you call, you gave three numbers.
I gave you the actual website, but they do have phone numbers too.
Okay, no, you gave three websites. That's what I meant to say. But the question I was having, okay, if I call and say the Experian, okay,
yes.
Would that be my one, or is it one with each company?
Each company.
Oh, I can call Experian and the other two. All of them would count. Those are, it's just one with each company.
One with each company. You're allowed one free credit report through all of the each major credit bureau a year for free.
So one from Experian and one from the other two.
Right. So you get one from Equifax and one from TransUnion and one from Experian. So you need to do that. It's important because you need to know what they're saying. And even though you may think you have excellent credit, you could have multiple addresses that are on there that shouldn't be on there. You could have a situation where they have you employed at places that you've never even worked before. And see, what you don't understand is now employers can look at your credit report and decide whether or not to hire you, depending on your position. So you need to know what's on there. So depending on what you are applying for a job, your credit report speaks volumes about you. So it's not just trying to get a loan to get a house or a car or to apply for credit in any, you know, from any other lender. You need to know, because it could be for a job. You don't realize that they're looking at your credit. If you're trying to get an apartment or a house or whatever, they're definitely looking at your credit. So you need to see what these other people are seeing. Because if you don't dispute it, there could be something on there, anything that's on your credit report that is older than 7.5 years. They say 7 years, but I say 7.5 because that's going in towards the 8th year. Those things that are on your credit report that are older than 7.5 years, by law, can be taken off. So if it's some, even if it's derogatory, you need to have that taken off. So, you know, and there's ways to do that. You can repair your credit yourself without any other help but you. If you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It does take due diligence and it takes patience, but you can actually clean up your credit yourself. And that's basically what the show is all about, is how to fix it, how to fix your credit yourself, and how to raise your credit score, because that's vitally important, and you can do it.
Mm.
But you need to know, one, what's on the credit report. That's, you know, because you can't fight what you can't see.
Agreed.
You know, you really can't. You can't fight what you can't see.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to give the phone number if anybody wants to call in. You have a question or a comment, or you can join us in the chat room, and I'll read your question or comment over the air. The phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. I'd like to talk a little bit about a little quick review about what we just talked about, but getting more into what's on the credit report itself. What exactly are the creditors saying about you? Because a lot of people are not even clear as to what's on there. And the first thing they have on there is identification information, which is your full name and any aliases. Because sometimes if you shorten your name on some documents, or they may call you something else, that actually may be on there. A middle name that you might have or may not know that you have that was attached there. Like I said, be very careful to make sure that all of that information is accurate. Your date of birth, your Social Security card, all of that, I mean number, Social Security number is on that credit report. The length of your employment and your income from your job, or what you know, what you get, what your pay is, may or may not be on there. It's typically not on there as far as the your income, but it depends on the type of job that you have. What is reported on there? It could be reported on your credit report, and that may or may not be something that you want other people to know. So that's something that you really need to make sure that you're checking that. Creditors may sometimes reject an application because they can't confirm employment. So if your employment is not on there correctly, or jobs that you have had or have not had is not listed correctly, you may be turned down because they can't verify. The lenders may turn you down because they can't verify employment. And a lot of that information could be on your credit report. Then there's detailed information listing all of your accounts, whether they're open or closed or charged off. Those are the things that are definitely on your credit report. But you need to make sure that the issuer or the lender of all of your accounts, from the original credit limit and the balance, all of that needs to be correct. And if your account number on your credit card or any other account that you may have with open credit, even if it's closed, you need to make sure that those account numbers are correct, because one digit that's off is someone else's account. So you may be being charged for someone else's account and not know it. So you need to make sure that all of that information is correct. And then anything that's public record, whether it's a bankruptcy, tax lien, judgment, or any other filings that have that are against you, that's definitely on your credit report. So you need to make sure that all of these things are correct. And if you never had a judgment or didn't even know you had one and it's listed, then that's something that you need to definitely look into. There's also room on your credit report, what they call a consumer statement. And this statement is where you can actually challenge or explain any kind of errors or any explanation towards an account that you want added to your file. So say, for instance, now that they make the parents sign for the student as far as a loan is concerned, like your student loans. Parents have to sign that too. So you can actually add a consumer statement to your credit report in regards to having to justify what this extra inquiry is on your credit report. All inquiries of credit, and what I mean by that is any time that you fill out an application for credit or sometimes any time where you are looking for a car, a home, an apartment, you went into the store and they had, if you fill out an application today, you get $15 off or 25% off of your purchase. Any type of inquiry against your credit report, that's on there. So anytime that you are applying for something, that's on your credit report. That can also, if you have too many inquiries, that can also bring your score down. If those inquiries are not followed up by open credit. So, you know, you'll be surprised at how many times you're like, wait a minute, how come I have a low credit score when I've been paying my bills? But if you have too many inquiries, which means you are requesting for your credit or another creditor is inquiring about how you're paying or you're trying to open up credit with them, then that actually will go against your score. So, and another reason why you could probably be turned down for credit is insufficient credit file, which means you don't have anything on there. So like you said, if you're starting new, you have opened up absolutely no credit line whatsoever. Not owing someone can also be a bad thing. I know that sounds so crazy, but because we do live in a world where credit does matter, you do need to establish some sense of credit worthiness so that you can get that, you know, that apartment or that car or that home. No one is going to loan anyone anything if you don't have a history of paying anybody back. So, you know, I suggest, and I think from the previous weeks, it was suggested that you start off by going and get a store card, whether it's Sears or Walmart, Target, or some small store, either it's a clothing store or a furniture store, and buy something small that you know that you can pay off, but get, you know, open up a line of credit and pay it off in a couple of payments, and now you actually opened up what they call a trade line. So, and you're starting a credit history. So, but make sure that before you do that, that you definitely have enough money in case something happens to be able to pay for that purchase outright. So,
I agree with the whole thing.
Right. I mean, you know, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. If you don't have the money to pay for your purchases, don't go and overextend yourself and damage your credit. But you do need to establish a sense of some type of credit because we live in a society that you have to be, you know, a card-carrying member of some sort. You know, you do have to establish your own personal financial plan. And like I was saying before, your personal banker can be your best friend. You need a checking account of some sort and a savings account of some sort, some type of vehicle in which you can put money aside and let it grow and don't touch it. Because, it's, you know, especially in these economic times, a lot of people don't realize how much disposable income you really have. If you take, and I mentioned this last week, if you take 3 months of your bank statements and just take a highlighter and highlight everything that is not a bill, So anything that's a living expense, you don't highlight that. So like your gas bill, your phone bill, your utilities, none of the utilities, your insurances, do not highlight any of those. But anything that is not a bill, you need to highlight that and then add up the totals on each of those bank statements for 3 months and see exactly how much money you really did have as disposable income. So, you know, we actually have more money than we even realize that we have. And a lot of times, I think last week we discussed what to do in regards to your debit card and actually like paying yourself. If you have steady income coming in of some sort, you need to pay yourself like you are, like you pay your bills. So you need to pay yourself something and put that away and don't touch it. And then you'll be surprised at what you can do to splurge on yourself, because, I mean, I figure that if you're making money, that you deserve to be a treat instead of having a treatment. You deserve a treat. Because a lot of times you just go to work to pay bills, and that's not good. That means you're just surviving. You're not living. And we need to learn how to live and get out of survival mode, although we as a country are definitely in survival mode, especially since the job market is doing so poorly. So you have to figure out other means in which to try to stay afloat. But even with that, you still need to put a little bit aside for yourself, and you need to run a rainy day fund. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ron, last week you suggested that if you're going to use cash, that you pay with a bill. So like if you have something that maybe 75 cents, you give them a dollar and you keep the quarter.
Right. Yeah. And you would be amazed at how much change you would have in a month if at the end of every day you took all of the change you managed to collect and put it in a jar. You'd be amazed at how much money you would have at the end of the month.
Right.
A
lot of times I don't believe that people really realize how much disposable income they really do have. And you need to track your personal finances. And I think that is that was the second topic that we were going to talk about. And it is important for you to stay disciplined and stay on top of where your money is going. That is why the easiest way to do that is to have some type of account in some kind of financial institution, whether it's the credit union or whether it's a bank of some sort. You do need to have some type of method in which to track your money. If you're paying your bills online, and you're paying it with your debit card, then you'll get a statement. And even if you, God forbid, if you have to utilize your credit cards for the time being, make sure that you are utilizing those things and you're tracking it, that you're not utilizing your credit like it's water, because you need to understand that although you're able to use that piece of plastic, in 30 days or 28 days, they're going to be looking for a payment. So it is not wise maybe to use your credit card to go to McDonald's or any place like that, or some fast food or some insignificant thing, when you know that you are living off credit. If you are living off credit, then you need to be utilizing your credit wisely and not frivolously and throwing it away, because at the end of the day, you still have to pay that back. And the interest rate on these credit cards are ridiculous. And, you know, you have to be real careful about the teaser rates. Now, they'll get you with a low interest rate or zero interest card, and that may last, you know, that may be for the first 3 months. And then after that, it may go up to 23%. But if you're not paying it off, you know, a substantial amount off every month, it may take you 15 years if you're only paying the minimum payment for something that was probably only $200, but you're only paying $5 a month, but the interest is compound daily. You know, so not monthly or weekly, it's daily. And at the end, that adds up to be a lot of money, especially when you're trying to juggle taking care of yourself, your family, and staying afloat. So all of that stuff adds up. So you need to be mindful of where your money is going and how you're spending your money. Because that's where we end up, even before you mess up your credit, are you messing up your own personal finances that's liquid? You know, how many times have you bounced a check or were overdrawn in your account? If you can't, you know, a lot of us have more month than we have money, then you really cannot afford to frivolously throw money down the drain. And you really need to pay attention, even with your financial institutions. What are the penalties for overdrawal? Because, see, not only do you still have to pay back the overdraw, whatever the amount that you are overdrawn, but then you have the bank fees on top of that. So say, for instance, you purchased something that was $50, and you didn't have the $50 in your account at the time. So depending on how your banking institution or whatever your financial institution where you keep your money, depending on their rules and how they set, how your account is set up, if you don't have overdraft protection, then you're not only going to have to pay back that money, the $50, to cover what they paid, you already have anywhere between $27 to $39 bank fee on top of the money that you have to cover. Mm-hmm. So if you continue to do that over the course of the month, every month you're overdrawn on some part of your account, that adds up. That means you're giving them free money. Well, it's not free money, but it's freely going out of your pocket.
See, Diamond?
Yes.
I think another mistake people make is they're like, okay, let's say they're at, say, like a Bergner's or Sears, and they're getting an account with them. They're getting a charge account with them. They're getting a Sears card or a Bergner's card.
Okay.
Now, what they don't ask questions. They're sitting right there with the representative, and the representative is assisting them and signing the contract. But they never ask questions. You know, like they never inquire about the interest, and they never give the person, the representative, say, like a scenario, you know, it's like, okay, let's say I make a purchase of $100 and I get the bill next month. What would the minimum be on that $100? And how much interest would I have to pay if I only paid the minimum? And they never ask questions. And I think the reason that they don't want to ask questions is because a lot of people feel that if they ask questions, it makes them feel that they don't know what's happening. You know, so they have to appear intelligent. See, so in order to, say, make themselves appear intelligent, they try to make the representative, they try to give the representative the impression that, well, oh, I know about this. So you don't have to explain this to me. And they leave there. As a matter of fact, they get the card. They never take their paperwork home and study it and then go back at a later date and make a purchase. They got that card in their hand, and they're right there off to the races.
Correct.
Yeah, they're off to the races, and they don't even stop and think, that, okay, I want to establish my credit with Sears or with Bergner's. Let's say Bergner's. I want to establish my credit with Bergner's. And, okay, what can I get that I can afford to pay for in four payments? How much am I going to spend that I can pay for in three or four payments?
Okay.
And they don't even stop and think along those lines. They aren't looking at spending $100 or $200. They're over there looking at the 60-inch plasma TVs.
Correct.
They've got that plastic.
Right, and not realizing that that plastic has to be backed up by real money.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, that's where we get to the point where we abuse the privilege and not having a respect for it. You need to respect your money. You need to respect that plastic, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a financial nightmare. You're going to find it that, you know, instead of having a plan, a financial viable plan, they have opted for the lay awake plan. You lay awake worrying about your bills because you did not plan wise. And they always say that if you don't plan right, then you plan to fail.
Well, I think what a lot of people are doing is that's the problem. They don't worry about it.
Well, no, they worry after.
That's it. They worry after, but see, that's the
right
thing. They really don't worry about not being able to get any more credit. They don't worry that these people are going to come and take my plasma screen TV back, or they're going to repossess my automobile. They don't even worry about these things, because the thing being, we have lost that pride of ownership, the feeling of the pride of ownership. You got too many people that do not really want to own anything. They want to use things. They don't want the pride of ownership. There was a time in America when people would say, well, okay, I've got 3 more payments, and this will be my automobile. I've got 2 more payments, and this suit will belong to me. I got 24 more payments, and this will be my house.
Right.
But they don't look at a point from point A to point B where they're saying, well, okay, it belongs to me now. They don't care about it belonging to them. They just want to use it.
That is true.
This is why they abuse things. They'll go out and get a brand new vehicle. And they'll get one of these oversized SUVs that are expensive to operate, expensive to own, expensive to even purchase, and they'll put a lot of expensive junk on it, and all this, they got all this stuff on it, and they can't afford it. The insurance is out of the box on those things, even without all the junk. First of all, your insurance companies are not going to cover all that junk.
Right.
Okay, the insurance company's only going to cover the vehicle itself. And you have people that are driving these expensive vehicles, and they don't even have the insurance.
Right. Let me interrupt you 1 second and give, you're listening to Secure Your Life, and the phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is 347-884-9343. And we're talking about how to get out of that financial nightmare. I would like to take a quick break. For those of you who are streaming with us, I want to thank you all for listening. And if you're in the chat room, I want to also thank you for your comments and your questions. And I want to take a short break to say this short announcement. If you're living in financial nightmare, it's time to take control of your financial future. Secure Your Life has credit repair classes that will be going on starting in October. Feel free to go to our website. It's www.secureyourlife.net. That is www.secureyourlife.net. So you can log on and get more information about how to repair your credit. The classes will be going on online as well as face-to-face classes. We'll also be giving webinars. And it's a 6-week course. So step-by-step instruction. where you have six modules. If you want to take the quick course or if you would like guided instructions, we have step-by-step guided instructions with reference tools. Learn how to analyze and understand your credit. Stop any collection agency from calling and harassing you at home and work. You'll learn steps on how to remove negative information from your credit report. And you'll also learn how to negotiate with your for your debt on pennies on a dollar. So the credit repair classes and the kit is easy to follow, and don't wait. Enroll now. Again, that website is Secure Your Life, and life is spelled LYFE.net. So that's www.SecureYourLife.net. They can also be reached at area code 773-531-9595 or toll-free at 866-270-1474. Again, that is 866-270-1474. So I encourage you all to get into some type of credit repair class or financial planning class or some type of information. Get with your personal banker, sit down with them, and actually put together a financial plan for yourself, because it is very important that you do this, not only just for you, but for your children also. You need to start planning for their future and make sure that you're securing your life as well as their life so that you all can have a very viable financial future. So we're going to go back to our conversation. And for those of you all who are streaming with us, I want to thank you again for tuning in. And we'll be back next week at the same time. The conversation will go on past our streaming. So if you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're in the chat room, continue to be in the chat room. I'll give the phone number one more time if you would like to chime in and call in at the few minutes that's left for our streaming audience. But the archives will be available on the show website as well as Blog Talk Radio. The phone number is 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Okay, Ron, you were talking about things that people can do in regards to saving money. And one, like you said, is if you don't purchase, if you have not already purchased a SUV, then don't, because financially it is very expensive to have that, especially with gas prices being what it is presently. You need to live within your means. I mean, even though you have to, but you may have to purchase a vehicle, we don't suggest that you buy a new one, because that is a bad investment. As soon as you drive off the lot, it has depreciated 20%. So that's a bad. That is a definite bad investment. If every year it depreciates, so and then don't try not to be upside down in your vehicle if you already presently own a vehicle, or one that you are financing, which means you're paying, you're making payments every month. If the vehicle is in still very good repair, it is not necessary to, as they say, trade up. Don't get locked into any more than what you can afford. If, you know, just because it's a new year and the new model vehicles are coming out does not mean that you should go out and make tracks, try to get to the auto dealership so that you can get a brand new car. Because what happens is, what you don't realize, that although you're quote-unquote trading in or trading up your vehicle, whatever is owed on your financing from your old vehicle is added to the new one. So now you're creating more debt for yourself. So, you know, be very careful. And like you said, read the fine prints on everything. before you apply for a credit card, before you apply for a bank account, before you apply to get a loan for a car, you know, make sure that you are getting the most bang for your buck, because in the end, you're going to pay. And how, you know, you need to make sure that you're not paying dearly for the privilege of using plastic.
And ask questions.
Yeah, ask definitely.
Lots and lots of questions.
And I mean, and then the thing is, and if you don't understand, ask more questions.
Hey, even if you understand, ask questions. But the simple reason is this. Remember, a con man, he really gets over, he don't get over on the people that don't know. He gets over on the people that know, or the people that think they know. But the simple reason is this. If you're continuously just asking questions, asking questions, asking questions, you are either going to get a bang-up deal, or they're going to just leave you alone.
Right.
Yeah, this is it. They're either going to get, you're going to get a bang up deal, or they're going to leave you alone. And the thing being, if you just ask a lot of questions and remember what those people say to you, and before you use that card, take it home, along with the paperwork, and study it and see how close to what they told you was true. And if it doesn't add up, don't go back. Go to another store. Don't even bother using that card. Just throw it in the garbage. Because those people, they're just bad news. Don't even be bothered with them. But the main thing is don't be so egotistical that you're trying to show your intelligence. You don't show your intelligence by trying to get the people that people give the, by trying to give the salesperson the impression that you know as much as he does. Even if you do know as much as he does, don't let him know it. Because as long as he feels that he has all the information and you have none, you can get more information from him.
Right. You need to be a wise consumer about everything. I mean, even with, go as far as with your, you know, cell phones. Those contracts, read them. It is important that you do so. Make sure that you the plan that you buy into is one that's working for you. You don't, you know, if your plan has features that you're not using, find out exactly how much you're being charged for those things. Even with your phone bill, your home phone bill, make sure that the plan that you have is servicing you, because if there's something on there you're not using, then you're wasting money. You need to really make sure that whatever you're doing, that your money is going where it needs to go, and if you, you know, and that you're not burning through your money. If you happen to have cable television, make sure that that contract is that you have read it thoroughly, because just like the cell phones, and the cable television, even your home telephone, if they're doing a promotion for a particular item, product, or service, and you buy into that, you need to make sure, how long is the contract? What is the penalty for breaking the contract? Because although they may say, well, there's a penalty if you discontinue the service or whatever, if you go to a different carrier, you can actually negotiate with the new carrier and say, hey, I would love to have your service, but I'm locked into this contract. What can you do? Sometimes the carrier, because they want your business, will pay your buyout of the old contract or your penalty fee. They'll pay the old your old person that you were with, your old carrier, they will pay that fee for you to have your business. But you need to make sure that no matter what the service or products are, that you're getting what you pay for and that you're utilizing all of the services. Because if you're not, then they're benefiting and you're not, which means you're burning through your money.
I received a letter. The early part of this month, I received a letter from AT&T informing me that sometime in October they're going to get in touch with me, because they're going to they're going to give me a new service for my phone. And they're saying I will be able to, I forget exactly how, the whole thing, but it will say, like, I'll be able to say, like, call, if I'm not at home, I can call and check on any messages that I have received, or I can see what my email is doing. I don't need that. So I'm
right.
I'm waiting to see just how much they're going to charge me for that new service.
Correct. And, you know, if you're not, just because they offer it, if it's not beneficial to you, don't buy in.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that you're not going to utilize that particular service, don't buy in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is unnecessary just to have the added, what, the added service that you're not using is still an inconvenience for you. It may be a benefit as far as they're concerned because they've made you pay for something that you're not going to use.
Right.
And every year, even with your phone service, they're constantly giving new promotions. You need to make sure, look at your bill and make sure that what you're paying now is comparable to whatever their promotion is. Find out if it's worth changing your, you know, your product or service,
mm-hmm.
or upgrading or downgrading. I mean, yearly you need to check this, because especially with your internet service that they're providing, there are so many different promotions. I looked on my bill and realized that when I first started with my internet provider, I was paying something like $15, and it went up to $19. It went from $19 to $24.99, you might as well say $25, all the way up to $33 a month. And I was like, wait a minute. Why am I paying so much money and I don't see any particular difference? How come it went from the low price of $15 and I'm all the way up to $33? That's a significant difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went on to explain to me about the different speeds of the internet and what you could be doing, and all of that may be dandy, but you need to realize what exactly are you using your internet for. If you are a heavy gamer and you're utilizing the internet service for that, yes, then you do need to have a very high speed connection. But you need to. Why should you have to pay premium price for it? You need to shop around and see, even if you've been with this particular carrier for a long time, you need to find out if it's beneficial for you to say, hey, well, you know what? I know I've been with you for X number of years, but I am not getting the, you know, I'm not getting the bang for my buck, and your competitor has a great promotion going on. I've read the contract, and I'm really thinking about going with them. You'll be surprised. They may even meet it or beat it because they don't
mm-hmm.
want to lose your service. So, you know, and then even if you decide to change carriers, you need to find out, is this a teaser rate? You know, how long is this promotional price? How long does it last? What is the, you know, what happens once the promotional period is over? You know, what happens after that? What are your actual rates versus your promotional rates?
Mm-hmm.
And how long am I locked into this? Because depending on what's going on, you can actually benefit and play what I call promotional roulette and go from one promotional thing to another, because they give you a period of time in which, you know, for certain products or services, if you cancel before this date, then you're not penalized. So you need to see, maybe you need to take advantage of finding out what the other what the competitors are offering. How much of a difference would it be if you did change carriers? How long is the contract? What is the buyout rate, or should I say the penalty for ending your contract? How much is that? Because sometimes it's worth getting out of the contract, even if the competitor won't pick up the tab. If in the long run you do the math and it turns out that who you're currently, whoever your provider of your service or products are, is not giving you a good rate, it might be worth your benefit to pay the penalty. Because in the long run, the benefits of being out of that contract overrides what you're paying.
So, and those numbers again to check your credit reference, report, at TransUnion.com, Expiration.com,
right.
And the third one was?
And it's Equifax.
Equifax, ECOFAX?
No, it's EQUI. EQUIFAX.
Oh, EQUIF.
AX.
AX.
And they have they have a phone number, and their phone number for TransUnion is 1-800-888-4213, and that, let me repeat that again, it is 1-800-888-4213. Equifax, their phone number is...
That's the TransUnion number.
TransUnion number was the first one. The second one is Equifax, and their phone number is 1-800-997-2493. That is 1-800-997-2493.
And the expiration?
Okay, Experian.
Experience?
Yes, EXTERIAN.
Okay, got that.
Okay, and their phone number is 888-397-3742. Again, that is 1-888-397-3742.
Hey, got that. Okay. Now you can get the information online.
Yes, you can get the information online. You can actually get your credit report online.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you can see it'll come right up on the screen.
Yes, but I suggest that you print it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can actually look at it all three, and you're able to get a highlighter and highlight the information that you feel is an error. Because if there are any errors on your credit report, then you do need to do your due diligence and write to them and explain the errors, and let them know that this information is incorrect. And so what will happen is once you do that and you write your letter to the credit bureaus, then they will do their due diligence to get in touch with the collection agencies or the original creditors and inquire about where they receive their information from to see if that's actually correct or not. So what will happen is your first letter will go out disputing whatever is on the credit report that is incorrect. Then the credit bureaus will write you back.
Okay.
So based on whatever information that they have acquired from their sources or from their subscribers, then that information is then given, put into a letter and then given to you where you can escalate it and say, okay, none of this is correct. Or, you have a chance to debate and dispute whatever their findings are until it's corrected.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you would get it printed and study it, and then if it needs some correcting, you would just get in touch with them.
Well, you have to write a letter.
That's what I mean.
Right. You can call them, but they will tell you that they need it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I go over that in the class. I mean, I talk to you about all of the letters that you need, all of the information I explain exactly what's on your credit report, what you need to do in order to correct information that is incorrect on your credit report. I give you a copy of a sample letter to write to the credit bureaus, and they have 60 days in which to respond back. So the first letter that you're going to do is a request for free credit report if you want to write to them and get your credit report. And you can, if you've received a denial letter from a lender or creditor that's denying you credit, although in addition to the free one that you automatically are entitled to every year, anytime that you get a denial letter, you can receive a free credit report as a result of the denial, so you'll know what's on there and the reason why they denied you.
Okay. Okay, Diamond, well, thank you, and I'd better get off. Pardon me, I better get off this thing. We're running out of time.
Okay, well, I would like to thank you for listening to Secure Your Life, where is no holds barred real talk about how to get out of your financial nightmare and secure your financial future. I encourage you to come in next week at 10 o'clock where you can learn more about credit repair, personal finance management, and any other financial questions on how to secure your financial future for your family as well as your children. And I will tune in next week. And, again, you can go to our website at www.secureyourlife.net. That is www.secureyourlife.net. And sign up for our credit repair classes where we will give you step-by-step guided instruction on how to understand and analyze your credit report, how to stop collection agencies from calling and harassing you at home, learn how to step-by-step remove negative information from your credit report, and how to renegotiate your debt for pennies on a dollar. And all of this is legal. This is no schemes. This is actually stuff that you can actually research and do yourself. This is a do-it-yourself class. It's just guided instruction on how you can indeed fix and correct your credit. And after we do that, we arm you with some personal financial management so that you can be on your way to controlling and taking control of your life and your financial wherewithal so that you can be viable. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week. And thank you again, Ron, for tuning in and all of those who are streaming with us as well as in the chat room. I'd like to invite you to come. And we're also on Facebook, so you can look us up at Secure Your Life. That's on Facebook. And leave your comments and questions there. You can also email us at diamond@secureyourlife.com. That's D-I-A-M-O-N-D at secure, S-E-C-U-R-E-Y-O-U-R-L-Y-F-E.com. And enroll into our classes so that you can take control of your financial future. Until next week, I would like to bid you adieu and have a great and safe week.